Yeah, I know that.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. I would like to welcome everybody, but to welcome any member of the committee as well. And Colin September is our new member of the committee. We played in Mr. Norton. Thank you. the police also wanted to see me, if they did anything, maybe the police should quickly help the
That's what happens if you run a state of enterprise from Johannesburg, not from the city.
I don't know if PC or PC is Alexander by the present at this minute. So, I don't know state politics or publicity today. I think people have issues about today. We have a right to discuss those issues, put them properly on the agenda today. But I don't think this is the right place and the right time to talk about the fact that we are running before I speak about the first item on the agenda, we are dealing with thanks, and you guys must stay put. We are dealing with the report by the task team of the committee. As you know, we instituted a task team a few weeks ago.
Almost 2 months ago.
About 6 weeks ago? Yeah. So on the 17th of October, it was a week. So it's about 6 weeks ago. Yeah, we instituted the committee, the task team that were to work with Treasury, DPE, as well as Transnet to look into the issue of the defined benefit fund, to play around with the figures and to bring a report so that the bulk of work is done in that committee. Subcommittee. That subcommittee will present to us today. We were expecting that DPE would be here, and that Transnet would be here, and that Treasury would be here, but it's the subcommittee that's going to present to us. The preference of Transnet and DPE and Treasury is crucial in that they have to go on record that they know that these issues they were party to and that they are agreeing to the presentation that they are bringing. I did receive a request also from the pensioners who requested to brief to address the committee meeting today on the issue. I have said it's not possible because this is not a public hearing. There are rules and procedures and times and processes by means of which or at which the public can speak in meetings of parliament, and this is not that kind of forum. I think they are here. They are not going to speak in this meeting. They did write, I must also say that I've received several letters from various people who are pensioners, others just writing many, many letters to thank the committee for addressing the issue, by paying attention to it, quite many, many, most of them Brazilian Africans, some of them in English. But I've received two letters or so written by somebody who claims to be a lawyer presenting some pensioners. I did not to all the letters. I did not respond to all those letters. So, is somebody speaking?
No, you were speaking.
Okay. I must be hearing things. So I did not. The letters were too many to even acknowledge receipt thereof. So I apologize to all, I thank all the people that wrote letters, and I apologize for not acknowledging the letters, all of them. They were just coming in droves. So I did not want to start a process of acknowledging other letters and not acknowledging. So I'm just using this space to thank everybody that wrote, including the lawyers that purported to be representing people. There is a letter that I received from the pensioners who wanted to speak
which I don't think I will read to the committee. I will just circulate later to you. Because that's a back, that is a backdoor way of speaking at the PC meeting. But because the task team is ready, was ready to a large extent already for weeks now to report, we will first take the task team's report and then we will deliberate on it, as a committee, and we will find common ground and make take agreements and make recommendations. And, but before we even do that, I would like us to do introductions. I'm the chairperson of the Portfolio Committee, Faith Mental. I'll ask members going that side to introduce themselves, and then we will ask our guests from Treasury, from DPF, DPCA, and from Transnet is not here, to, and then the pensioners and whoever is here to introduce themselves except the media. Thanks.
I'm Gloria Borman, a member of this committee.
Peter van der Hagen, a Litwanini committee.
Marie van Dijk, member of the committee.
Gerard Koornhoff, member of the portfolio committee.
Money, my name is Chris Hololo, a member of this committee.
I'm Fatima Hajesh, member of this committee. Coming September, same.
Good morning, everyone. My name is Mlindi Nana. I'm a member of this committee.
Morning, Jake Dikobo, led for the committee.
Temagile Plagi from the National Treasury.
Avril Halstead from the National Treasury. What's the name again? Avril Halstead.
Avril.
Yeah, Avril.
DPE is not here. Nobody will account for the
air. I'm sure they come.
They're still coming. They're very late. Then, we will hand over to there is a member of parliament here who
did not introduce himself. I'm Chris Pitsier, I'm the convener of all the pensioner clubs in the country.
I'm John Olsen, I represent Club 60, 32 Club 60 throughout the country, black, white, coloured and Indian.
Ek is Hannes Lukas, ek voorsitter van Shell Pensionaris Kaapstad, dankie.
Faki, I used to be a member, I'm not a member anymore. My name is Willie Spies, and I am a lawyer, but I'm not the one who wrote the letter, so I'm just here to listen.
Are you part of the delegation?
Not, not officially.
All right. Okay. Thanks. Well, welcome back.
Thank you.
Okay.
Were the delegations not full for if they did come to the meeting, I don't know why they're not here today. They were not comfortable. All right.
Thanks.
We wanted to bring them, but it's too expensive. One is from Durban, one is from Farewell Belvin, it's just impossible to get to me ahead of time. Sorry.
No.
We had made an arrangement with Parliament. It was not your responsibility. In fact, let's just take this time to speak about Parliament in relation to this matter. One, they are the ones who have put the bill for the Parliament, and they have made a commitment, even to me, and the Parliament was in the case, but then we have called them today, because Parliament I want to give the committee that yesterday I got an SMS from Mr. Rio Kata of Transnet, in which he was suggesting that I should cancel today's meeting because there was a media statement issued by Kedani in an African media house, I think it was in fact, yeah, immediately before you were talking about in African something. He was saying that a press release was negating the agreement we had made in the text. And I don't want to speak about that. Maybe I will speak about those issues when we see the report. For that reason, he was suggesting that I cancel the meeting, and I informed President also to attend. And I said, I phoned him to offer to him the SMS. And I said to him, I cannot postpone the meeting. One, because President does not have the right to inform parallel to get to the meeting. Two, I do not have the right as a candidate to unilaterally
Chairperson. I must say this has not been an easy exercise. It's been a very difficult one. And if I am presenting a report of just 1.5 pages, that represents, I can't tell you how many tables and figures and report backs and things that we've had in order to arrive at that. And I must say, I really am sorry that Transnet are not here today, because they have worked very hard with us on this, and it seems a pity that having reached this stage, that it may be forces beyond their control, I don't know, but it's a pity that they are not here. What I present here today is the result of much deliberation, and it's a combined effort of the task group. I'm merely just putting it into words. The Portfolio Committee on Public Enterprises, referred to as the committee, the task team on the Transnet Second Benefit Fund. Our mandate at the meeting, at the committee meeting on the 17th of September 2010, it was agreed that a small task team be formed comprising of Mrs. Borman, Chairperson, Mr. Mololo, Dr. Quernop and Dr. Van Dijk to find possible solutions for the fund together with DPE, National Treasury, Transnet and legal advisors. The funding solution was to address, number one, an ex gratia payment to compensate pensioners for the low amounts paid out in the past. Two, increase the base pension of the pensioners. And three, an increased policy to be applied going forward. So we were clear. Progress at our first meeting of the task team was held on the 5th of October 2010. Present at the first meeting, in addition to the task team, were members representing the Board of Trustees of both the Transnet Second Defined Benefit Fund, the TSDBF, and the Transport Pension Fund, the TPF. Three pillars were discussed, and government was requested to develop proposals on an ex gratia payment, whilst Transnet was requested to develop proposals for uplifting the base of pensioners and allowing for an increase of 75% of CPI on an uplifted base. It was recognised that this would require consultation between government and Transnet. In addition, the Portfolio Committee members of the task team highlighted the fact that the funding solution should be affordable for Transnet and government, should treat all pensioners fairly, should be sound from a prudential perspective, and ensure that the fund maintains a healthy funding level, that is important, whilst addressing the injustice of the past and ensure that the future of pensioners was not compromised. It was agreed that the task team would deal with both the TSDBF and the TPF at the same time. That seemed to make sense. The task team took cognizance of the budget timelines noted by National Treasury. A second meeting of the task team took place on the 26th of October 2010. The affordable contribution to both funds that would improve the situation of the pensioners is an injection amount of 1.9 billion. That was what we looked at. Now, recommendations from the task team. The task team, having applied its mind, would have preferred to recommend a 2.56 billion rand injection amount, which would have allowed for the base pensions to be uplifted by 10%. And prospective increases of 75% of CPI to be applied going forward. But after thorough deliberations with Transnet, National Treasury and the Department of Public Enterprises, and consultation with party study groups and clusters, taking into account the government expenditure priorities and taking into consideration inputs by National Treasury, the Department of Public Enterprises and Transnet to the task team, we therefore propose the realistic and affordable scenario of an injection amount of 1.963 billion rand. This would allow for a 7.4% base uplift and prospective increases of 75% of CPI should no ex gratia payment be made. However, the task team are of the view that an upfront ex gratia payment be made to the pensioners to provide them with some immediate relief. Two options are proposed for the portfolio committee's consideration. One, an ex gratia payment of 1.75 months pension, which allows a 5.93% upliftment to the base pension. This 5.93% increase is equivalent to the projected inflation rate. Or, two, an ex gratia payment of 5 months pension, giving a base upliftment of 3.21% based on the current inflation rate. Way forward, Transnet, the Department of Public Enterprises and National Treasury to implement the proposal before the 31st of December 2010, following due process. And this chairperson, I think in a nutshell, a very brief nutshell, sums up the task group. Thank you.
I want to thank you once again, Gloria, together with the members of your task group. I think you did an excellent, excellent service and brought forward a very excellent product. I must say to the committee, I think you've invited me to one meeting where you showed me the copies of your columns and figures and whatever that shows a lot of consideration, a lot of working, a lot of calculations and all those things. Thank you once again. I would like to ask a few questions based on the document before I open for discussion. Your document is saying that you were to deal with two funds at the same time, the TFDBS as well as the TPS. You say that was the mandate from the meeting of the 17th. That's clarity I need. The clarity I'm seeking, because I want to know this proposal that you are making is the proposal for both the funds, because I need that kind of a clarification written into the document as part of your recommendation, because another reader would not be clear whether the proposal is for only TFDBS or it is for both TDS-DBS as well as TPS. Do you agree with me that we need to insert that and say that this recommendation is a way for both? Yes. Sorry. The second page. No. I see the first page, yes, where?
It was agreed. It was agreed that the task team would deal with both the TSDBS and the TDS, so it applies to both the recommendations.
That is the historical background, that was your mandate. But I said, in your conclusion, in your recommendation, we need to clarify again that the proposals you are making apply to both funds. Okay. All right, thanks. Now, this is open for discussion. I'll take your list of names, members. Mr. Dikobo. When are Dikobo? Not Mr. Dikobo. Mr. Dikobo, okay. No, let me take your whole list of names. Mr. Nana. Are you Mr. Mlindi or Mr. Nana? Any other names? And Alan. Yes, we will participate, but I think you must feel free now because we have reported also to participate. It's kind of tricky for us to allow you to participate. I think you should.
Can I ask whether you wouldn't allow the members of the task team just to add what the chairperson has said, and then we open it for questions,
okay,
if they want to make a comment.
Yeah. Please proceed.
Mm-hmm.
any additions from members of the trustees?
Chairperson, if I can just propose what my colleague said, maybe it will be good for us as members of Tasking just to hear what is not clear, and then we will participate in not a second round, but after that. So we give them first round just to hear what they need or what.
No, you know what? I'm opening for members to ask both clarity questions and to engage, and then you will hear them out, and then later on you will join the discussion. Yes. So, Mr. Dikobo, Mr. Nana Mlindi, Mr. Van Dalen, and myself. Let's proceed, please.
Thank you, Chairperson. On the proposal, I think I understand that, but I'm just trying to check. I see up there, there is an understanding of an injection of 1.963 billion. Now, what I want to know is proposal one, proposal two, both of them cost that amount.
It's only one amount.
Right, I just wanted to push beyond doubt that if indeed, assuming that this money were available, it would be able to do either for proposal one or proposal two.
Yes.
Because if that is the case, then one would be inclined to favor proposal one, because it has a carry-through effect. You know, this one of instant gratification, 5 months salary you celebrate, but then from there you are at 3.2. But this one, that may seem to be too little in terms of what you get. But the carry-through effect, I would favor that, assuming that they cost the same, of course.
Yeah. Just before, thank you very much. Your question has been clarified, and you have made your recommendation.
Yeah.
Before I proceed with the list of things, I forgot to ask Treasurer to endorse that they were part of the discussions of the task teams, that they have seen this figure, they know where the figures are coming from, and that they participated in the process, just to deal with the issue, put it before committee that, and on record that you were part of the process, you know where the figures come from. I don't even want to say to deal with the issue of the media of yesterday, but I would like to create space for President now.
Yes, we have been participating in the process, as have the Department of Public Enterprises and Transnet. The proposals that have been put on the table are numbers that we believe could be taken through all the governance processes collectively between ourselves, Transnet, and the Department of Public Enterprises, but we are still finalising the exact way in which that funding solution would be put forward, and I think the statements in the media have been somewhat misconstrued.
Okay. So what you're saying is that you know where this figure comes from, you did participate, you are busy doing the final thing to find a solution.
We're still in discussions around how the 1.93, where the funding is going to come from that, between the two departments and Transnet. But that is a number that we believe is an affordable number in line with the requirements that the committee outlined.
Thanks. Thank you very much. And you must capture that very accurately. Members, let's proceed. Thank you.
Thanks, Chairperson. I'm covered because I really wanted to check the comfort of Treasurer. Now that she has spoken, I'm quite covered. But I do have a suggestion about the 1.9 billion. They must talk to Dr. Skweyiya. Before elections last year, he was able to find about half a billion rand for food parcels. So Dr. Skweyiya may be able to give some advice.
Uyageza. You must not. I'm inclined to delete everything you said, including the positive things you said.
Okay. Mr. Van Dalen?
Yes, Madam Chairperson, thank you very much for the opportunity. And I also would like to thank the members of the STAR team. They saved us a lot of time and hassles. And I think they came up with a very sound proposals. And I also thought about it a little, and I thought, you know, without being degrading to people that are very old, is that the facts are that they don't have such a long time. If you would uplift the bottom base, you know, for somebody that is still in the beginning of his pensionable age, say at 65, then it would make good sense. But I would think that these pensioners at the moment, they would be looking for immediate relief, seeing that, you know, they would have gathered some debt having been paid so little. So I would go for a second proposal, which is the ex gratia payment of 5 months and giving them some relief, especially now in these trying times, and then uplifting the base going forward. But again, I would just like to thank the task team for coming up with these very sound recommendations, and also for Treasury and the rest that would be supporting these recommendations. Thank you.
I want to endorse what Gloria said, Ms. Ajay. I will take you after myself because it's just raised your hand now. I want to endorse what Gloria said about Transnet. That despite the fact that they are not here today, they have really, really put the shoulder to the wheel to allow us to arrive at where we are today. I've actually had two meetings with them during the process of the testing. One was just before the process of the testing, and one was when the testing was about to report. You remember there was a time we were about to report, and we said we might do a bit of work. Other than that, they also said in the meetings of the testing. And there is really a commitment on the part of Transnet to find solutions to this problem. So I think their absence today should not negate the fact that they are committed to the process and they were deeply involved in it. The second issue I want to raise is that it's really not our problem. As I know I sound rude, but I want to say that it's not our problem as a portfolio committee, how Treasury and Transnet and DPE, or how or from where they will get this money. It's their problem. They must. There was the medium-term budget process that they could have used also to find money through. But the date here, I want to endorse the date of. Did I see that? December something. 31st December. I want the committee to consider the date of the 31st December, and I strongly agree with that date. It would have been even nicer if it was before the... Yeah. Because they would have a better Christmas if this was put before the 31st of December. So if you can agree to change the date from the 31st of December to the 15th of December, so that their Christmas this year is slightly different and better from the previous Christmas. Ms. Ajay.
Thank you, Chair. I don't normally agree with Mr. Van Dalen. But today, I will agree with him. I do think the second option in terms of the age of pensioners, I think the second option of the ex gratia payment of 5 months, I think is fair in this case. That's all I want to say. Thank you.
Now, the other trustee members are free to participate. The two daughters.
Thank you.
Thank you, Chairperson. Chairperson, yes, I want to also to thank you for the very firm hand and way that you deal with this. And you're absolutely correct. We're referring to the time frame. I mean, you made it very, very clear from the point of departure of this exercise that time is important for this committee. As a task team, we tried our best to put it on the table today as soon as possible within the schedule and the program determined by the committee. And I'm also supporting you 100% to the date that we must see that this thing is implemented before the end of the year. Chairperson, coming to the two choices, I also agreed on the second one of a 5-month pension. Taking into account, it's already been said, the age of the pensioners, but also taking into account that the pensioners are really in great need for cash in hand to purchase basic living goods and services and to cover medical costs. We must remember that they received only a 213 rand subsidy from Transnet to their medical aid. And that is almost nothing. You can't buy medicine and go for medical treatment with 213 rand a month. And the backlog that they were exposed to in the past made it, like the Honourable Vajay said, necessary for them to purchase urgent goods and services. We read in the papers, we read in the media, and it was also said to us as a task team that cash in the hands would be great relief. And the indication, if I remember correctly, from the delegation of the pensioners representing the pensioners was actually also to be in favour of option two. That leaves us with a 5-month payback which will absorb 900 million of the 1.09 and then the 1 billion that will be still in the kitty can then make provision for two purposes, the uplift of the base of 3%, 3.2%, and on that uplift base, an ongoing 75% of CPI into the future. So I would also like to propose that we really serious consider option two to be implemented. Thank you, Chair.
Mr. September, you're a first learner. You will participate. Dr. Skoranov.
Thank you, Chairperson. Just to put it into perspective, depending where we come from and how do we argue, it was never the task of this task team or the portfolio committee to correct the whole of the past of what happened with the pension funds of Transnet. That was never the mandate, to correct the history and to clean it. And so depending where we come from, I just want to make sure we understand. We received from under your leadership a clear mandate to see what is the best to assist dire need of pensioners in these two funds. And I want to say it, I think it's a remarkable in this point in time of our country's history and in this economic climate to agree on a 1.9 billion cash injection agreed by this portfolio committee, DPE, Transnet, as well as Treasury, to go forward. This is not a small achievement. I think it's a major achievement going forward. I just want to put it into perspective. We listened to the medium-term budget policy statement last week. It's money is scarce. It's tight. Government is looking at priorities within priorities. So I just want to put that perspective, that we don't go out here and to say the X billion backlog potentially, we failed to address that. I think it's a great achievement for the recommendation that we put to your committee at the moment. I think it's also inflation related because that's what you originally asked us to do. You remember we started out at a 2% increase to amend the rule of the regulations with that rule to be changed. And this is what we present to the portfolio committee to say, instead of changing the rule, let's look at this this way forward. And just secondly, the agreement is that Transnet as well as Treasury have to follow their processes now. You would most probably find that Transnet will have to go through a process and Treasury has to go through a process to find the money and to see in what way they're going to split it between them. I just want to make sure that it's on the record, that we understand it, and if something goes wrong, that we know where we come from to address that issue. Thirdly, I think we negotiated as the task team with the institutions involved in good faith from the beginning. And that faith has not been broken. And in that spirit, I think we make a recommendation to your committee in going forward so that nobody misunderstands this where we come from, despite negativism in some newspaper reports. And lastly, the ex gratia payments on the split. To answer the very first question, I think, this is a sliding scale. The 1.96 billion gives you a base uplift of 7.4%. The moment you take out for ex gratia payment, the base percentage uplift drops. So the more you take out for ex gratia, the less remains and the percentages drop. And you can pitch it on any of position on that scale. And what we put forward now is two options of going forward. And I just want to sign the word of warning. If we go for the higher ex gratia, was it 10 years ago that we paid out to the military veterans? Almost 10 years ago, maybe less? I think it was X amount. 30,000. And you can help. But there are risks involved. There are risks involved. And I think we just apply our mind very carefully what's the balance between going forward and the ex gratia. Because the tendency will be to use your pension money to buy immediate needs. It's logical. And I just want to, whatever discussion and decision we're going to make, we should take that into consideration. And then I would like also Treasury just to comment on the two options.
Now, before Treasury, let members deliberate first. Thank you very much for your remarks, Dr. Korenhoff. You know that the next meeting is going to start, it's supposed to start at 11. So I'm going to ask you to make your input and state which recommendation do you favor. Dr. Korenhoff, you seem to, but I'm deducting, not be supporting the ex gratia of 5%. You seem to be supporting the first option. I'm doing this because I'm tallying the numbers so that we avoid voting to check the majority, what are our thoughts. I will come back to you because you did not clearly say are you against the first option or. So I would ask members to help us when they deliberate to conclude your remarks by saying which option do you think is better. In fact, I also want to thank Minister Hogan as having headed DPE during this process and her commitment to this process also. I think it's also to her credit that we are sitting today with this proposal, and I hope Colin will convey the message. Mr. Kululo.
Thank you very much, Chair. Let me first thank ourselves and the task team. I don't know if you can thank yourself. But for the job well done, really, we've tried our best, I must say. We must also thank the other task team members there. And say that as a task team, really, we are very, very committed in ensuring that the past imbalances actually are addressed. Our pensioners, actually, we need to also respect them and ensure that get what they're supposed to get. Would have loved a scenario where the 2.5% with the 10% base lift was the scenario. We really proposed that the realistic scenario of the 1.9 billion be the one, Chairperson, that we take as a task team because of the affordability by National Treasury, by Transnet. But with the 2.5, I see that it's not going to be maybe possible for them. So as a task team, I think myself personally, I'm comfortable with the 1.9 because I see that they'll be able to pay for that one. But we would have loved it to be up a bit.
And of the two recommendations, which one do you favor? Of F Russia of 5% or F Russia of 1.75?
Yeah. And the second thing is this. Oh, this one, eh? Yeah, I'd prefer the first one. The ex-gratia payment of 1.75 months pension, which allows a 5.93% upliftment to the base pensions.
I'm assuming that, the pensioners themselves were there, and I seem to be hearing that they were leaning towards the second option. In that case, then I would consider dropping my budget. As somebody who has been dealing with the conditions of service negotiating and all those things, even if I were them at their age, I would take the first option. But if this is what they want, I could pull back and say, well, let's give it to them.
So, can I have you have an opinion in terms of the first entry from the right here, 1.75 or 5%?
Chairperson, I understand that this is our meeting and it's not for the pensioners to talk. As the committee, particularly the task team, I forgot to commend them. They've done a good job. And I depending on what the committee feels, but I really wanted to suggest that we have gone this far, and maybe if from the chair you would agree, we allow the pensioners, exactly what Mr. Dikobe said, we allow the pensioners hear them out, which one would they prefer. I see you are shaking your head. I don't have an opinion, honestly.
What I'm saying, during the process of engaging the pensioners, it became evident and clear that they are leaning to something in their pocket, which is a better expression. That's what we detected throughout the process. When they had time to speak, they spoke before this committee. And even their letters, they are asking for. But you have to consider you as a public, apply your mind now and assist us to take a figure. I must say that currently the majority of people have spoken in favor of 5% ex gratia. Mr. Nana, I'm back to you now.
Yeah, we are putting on the scotch. Sorry,
not 5%, 5 months.
5 months.
Yeah, sorry, thanks for correcting me.
The second option.
Yeah.
If it suits them, Chairperson, I'll second the second option.
Okay. And I just have to make sure that that is not right, wrongly, like my, I've been saying percent in terms instead of money. Sorry, yeah, thanks.
Yes, sir.
I'm going to conclude this matter from the chair after I've listened to the last person to speak. Yes.
Yes, Madam Chair, I just wanted to add that I made some calculations all by myself, and I might be totally wrong, but if you work it out, the difference between the first option and the second option, if you give the second option, or if you give the first option, it would take about 12 to 15 years for the pensioners to get out the same as what they would get out when they get out the second option. So it would be a bit voordelig,
beneficial.
But it would be a great advantage for the people nowadays. I just wanted to add that.
For the 5 months?
Yeah, for the second option.
The majority
of the last. No, I will go with the majority. It's fine. I just want to say that if you go for the higher ex gratia payment, I'm sure there's tax involved. Tax implications. If it's tax, it's not tax free, but you may not fall into that tax bracket that you pay tax. Okay, so that we don't fly blind into it. And secondly, the base uplift will drop to 3.2%. The inflation rate currently yesterday was 3.2%. So the base uplift of going into the future, originally we thought as a task team a base uplift of 15% was more than what we can get. Then originally, as the chairperson has said in the opening paragraph, our first priority was a base uplift of 10% going into the future. In this option, the base will drop to 3%. I just want to make sure that we know the risks involved if we go into that scenario.
But also bear in mind that moving forward, there will be an increase of 75% CPI, which helps also to mitigate. The base will be 3%. Yes. From the chair, I want to say I was initially also favoring option one, but I've been persuaded by you members today, but also by the cry of the pensioners themselves in their letters, who were saying they really need something in their pocket. So I would, from the chair, also support the decision of the 5 months ex gratia. So overwhelmingly today we have taken the decision to adopt recommendation 2. But I want to ask you a question that you should apply your minds to. Having done all these things and having proposed all these things, and in summary, Transnet and Treasury and DPE must go and work very hard, find money wherever, and make this thing a reality on or before the 15th of December. If they find it a much earlier, all the better. On or before the 15th of December, and report to this committee through the Office of the Chairperson to Parliament by the 15th of December. That record will go, the committee will find it when they come back. The homework I want to give you, members, is what happens to the Act of Parliament, and what is that Act, if left unchanged, going to have on this eventually. We need to undertake a process of repealing that or amending. I want to hear you out because we can't leave that act like that. The reason why I'm asking this, Chief Whip's office have been, and the cluster have been asking repeatedly, what is the legislation before the committee? I think this issue of considering this act that said that they will have only 2% increase needs the attention of the committee. Yes, sir.
Chairperson, yes. You're absolutely correct.
Absolutely, yes.
You're absolutely correct. As I've got it correctly, Rule 24 as a schedule to the Transnet Pension Fund Act, determines that the Board of Trustees has the responsibility to amend that 2% with the approval of Transnet and the Treasury and DPE. They were all participating in this process, so it is now just a procedure that needs to be followed. Once we make the recommendation, they will just need to amend Rule 24. And the DPE, Treasury, and Transnet were already involved in the discussion. There's no, it's not necessary for the club board of trustees to ask all the approvals again. It's been done, if I can put it that way. And that is the process. So the board of trustees are now the people to act to continue within the time frame that we put the, that you put to the committee. Thank you.
Gloria and Mr. Fadi and Mr. Kuma.
No, Dr. Fandek has put it exactly right. There is a process, and both Transnet, DPE, Treasury are very aware of the process, but that's absolutely correct. There are steps, and they know what those steps are.
That process needs a timeline too. We should tie them also to a timeline of the 15th of December. Am I right? Is it too tight present? Members, is it right, the timeline?
Okay. Chair, I need to say that certainly as far as Transnet goes, we do know that they've got a board meeting on the 26th or 27th of November. So this will actually come before their board, then. And Treasury have got the process of the budget, which they've got to work through.
I will say
that it's possible for one side to carry the other side if there is, over a period of time. That was my understanding. Perhaps Emma would like to just elaborate on that.
Yeah, after you, I'd like Mr. Fandeko.
I can't really comment on Transnet's governance processes. I'm not too sure exactly what's involved from their side. From our side, if there was any funding that was coming from the Treasury out of the funding solution that we developed, then that would normally have to go through the budget process, which is already in motion at the moment, and would then come to Parliament with the appropriation bill in February. So the final amount can only be then approved by Parliament at that point. However, my understanding is the same as Gloria's, that within the pension fund there is money already there that's obviously invested in the assets and so. And so assuming that a funding solution is put in place, which we believe is possible, then it would be possible to use that money immediately to make payments, and then we would have to put the money in when it becomes available. Okay.
You see, I didn't want us to discuss how Treasury and Transnet is going to do this. Actually, I don't think it belongs to this meeting. We have taken our decision. We have given you a deadline. What we were teaching you on was that by the 15th, everything that you need to do on your side would be done. And as far as the Board of Transnet is concerned, today I'll be communicating with Dr. Everingham, who is the acting chair of the board. I'll communicate with him telephonically to give him the feedback from the meeting, but I'll communicate in writing to him also to make sure that the next board meeting would pay attention to this issue that we are highlighting and communicate the preferred deadline that we are strongly recommending. Mr. Fandek, Mr. Dikova? Okay, Mr. Dikova?
No, I think we are very clear, Chairperson. We understand the rules. The board must determine the rules. And we have said the last resort would be legislation if the board was unable or unwilling. Now, our agreement is a package. In that package, there is the 75% of CPI, which therefore means the board must go and amend that 2% and put in it 75% of CPI. Otherwise, if they don't do that, this agreement means nothing. It's a package. It has this leg of the 5 months. It has this leg of 3.2%. And the third leg is this one of the 75%. So the board must go into it.
And it's actually the board of the pension fund,
Am I right? Not the board of Transnet. The board of, yeah. But the board of Transnet has, will approve it. He has got a relationship with the board of pension funds. So it will not be that it's the board of Transnet, but they must facilitate to make sure that the board of the pension fund does what they have to do. Connie and Hadej.
Chair, it's really a clarification question, and that is, I hear this about the 15th of December, and I'm not sure if I hear anyone here around the table, not from the members, saying that, you know, there's a definitive decision that it is possible. I'm not putting a damp scope on this thing. I'm worried that the recipients of the decision should not be, you know, they should not suffer any due course out of the decision. Neither am I asking to change it. I am simply asking, is there an indication from anyone that has the ability to say that there is something really in the pipeline already? And you're right, Chair. It would first of all be, the onus would be on the pension scheme itself, those trustees and all of them. So I don't know if there's anyone here from the trustees that can give us that. If they, of course, don't have sufficient money, I would imagine that they would go and, you know, go outside and ask who the relevant, whoever is that needs to add to the fact that they don't have sufficient money. It's quite important, that one, Chair, to have some definitive answer. I mean, I hear Treasury and so on, and I hear, you know, next month, next year in the budget and all of it. But we all know the bid processes have started already in government. It's just a matter of them saying whatever in February. But as we speak now, we all know that, you know, there are some definite things already.
Yes, I think
that's been added. This comes from and during that first month, we were also done at DCE and Income, and we started it by checking into the health of the fund itself. So we looked at the health of the calculation of 1.9 was made on the basis of what is currently there and what is currently possible and what is currently affordable. So that exercise has been done over a period of months. We did that homework.
But
thanks for your call.
That's not
the affordability issue that I'm talking about. No, we looked at the... I don't know. I had a meeting with Mr. Abraham and with the acting CEO. But the tax team also said what they on various points, where they say tax that is what the fund can afford. That was the starting point. And the figure that you see before us today has been based on what the fund can afford. Being supported by Treasury moving forward to the issues of CPI and whatever. So we appreciate your concern, but I think we should fill you in terms of the history. But if I'm saying anything out of line, I want members to add or to correct what I'm saying. You members, you are driven. What are the I'm thinking with the Minister and then Dr. Quorum Hop, and then we close the then we close the issue. Alex, what is meeting of
that? Committee, I think, I don't think we're talking at cross purposes here. I think in my own mind, knowing how the slow wheels of bureaucracy turns, my worry is that we've agreed on whatever we've agreed with good intention. And my worry is that we've put here that we need to see this thing on moving or actually move by the 15th of December, that is 6 weeks from now. And quite frankly, I'm not sure whether it's going to be possible that it will be done. So I don't know, we don't want to give people false hopes. We hope that they can do it by 15. I wanted to see if that last way forward, if we can put in a word or two, you know, to say that we will promote the implementation of this proposal by the 15th of December. So we're not binding our hands. We want it to happen then. My worry is that we know, all of us know, how slowly the bureaucratic wheels turn. That's the, it's not about the amounts or whatever, it's just the timeline. That's all I'm worried about.
Point taken. Doctor, you want to say this? Don't go over the last time I'll be closing this issue from the test.
No, I think we can close it, Chairperson. We deliberated. This is recommendations by the portfolio committee. Now a process kicks in by Treasury and Transnet. It's two parallel, and they're going to work out where and how, and this is not our business. But the process should kick in now. I just don't want to create expectations that we go out that door and by 15 December, boom, things will happen. The process will kick in, and they will, Transnet and Treasury, you've just summed up, will report back to Parliament about the process. If the process can be completed by a certain date, that's fine. All I'm saying, we adopt a principle agreement here. A process will now unfold. If that deadline is not met, this is not the issue. The issue is the principle is accepted of a cash injection of 1.963 billion. So let's not paint ourselves into corners. Let's adopt the process. It is a recommendation, and let the process to roll out, but they need to report back to Parliament so that we can monitor it.
Chairperson, now I need to use this opportunity, please. Chairperson, as you already said, that we must take into account the roll out of a process can take 1, 2, 3, 4 years. So I'm playing devil's advocate. I'm stick to what you earlier asked and mentioned. We need to give guidance on a time frame. Because just to report back, we're not ready yet. According to the actuaries in our discussing debate, it was said that it can be done by the press of a button. Well, not that easy, apparently, but it's a computer who's going to do the calculations. But we need to prescribe the time frame. Otherwise, we make space open for them or for the other parties to come back and say we're not ready yet.
Yes, Gloria. I want to say that not only has this, you know, been discussed over the last few months or a year, but this goes back 5, 6 years. The committees and ministers and everybody has been looking at it. So, you know, it's not a new thing that's on the table. People do know. So I'm confident that we can actually, in the discussions, in the meetings, the telephone calls that we've had, that we will be able to meet this. And I would agree. I think what we're trying to say here is we didn't want to just leave it open. So we put a date in, but we are saying ASAP. We want to see action, and we don't want it just left over indefinitely. So whilst we may perhaps put the date of the 15th of December there, we're saying, you know, things do happen and things do get out of sync, but there's a guidance there from the committee to say, this is what we would like to see. And it won't mean that everything's tied up, but the direction will then be planned for us.
I want to thank the portfolio committee members as a whole, thank the casting, thank Transnet, thank DPE, thank Treasury, and say that we undertook to complete this issue. We did our best. We did everything. We started by also in checking the situation of the fund, and Transnet did tell us that there is a possibility to implement this thing, and this deadline of December is a deadline that we have communicated to all of them months ago. They know that this is an issue that should be undertaken and be completed by the end of this year, and we hope that they have kick-started the process of, in fact, this figure of 1.9 was the figure that they themselves said it's possible to implement now moving forward. Our figure was much, much bigger, and why we agreed to taper it to 1.5 is to allow it to kickstart immediately, having taken into consideration the health of the fund. So in conclusion, I want to thank you. We are not creating an expectation, but there is an expectation from our side that Treasury and Transnet and DP will fast-track this process and will earmark the 15th of December and will report to this committee by the 15th of December. I thank you very much. We will take a 10-minute body break and we will start the next meeting.
Yeah, what's up?
We will ask the delegation, welcome to the delegation of Alex Koh. I did explain to the meeting this morning what happened in Alexander Bay yesterday, and I explained that for that reason the CEO cannot be here today. So I will start this leg of the meeting by allowing Alex Koh to introduce themselves. And for their benefit, I will ask members thereafter to introduce themselves again. Sorry for that double introduction in one day. And I will make a remark about something that was brought to my notice last week by the Committee of Mineral Resources, which Mr. Kololo is also a member of. So, but I will just take this moment to welcome Alex Koh and ask you to please introduce yourself.
Thank you, Chairperson. I want to say thank you very much for affording us the opportunity to come and present our financial position. My name is Reginald Muzariri. I'm the Chairperson of the Alex Koh Limited Board. To my extreme left, we have Vian Basson, who is our acting mine manager. To my immediate left, we have Berno Lategan, who is our acting chief financial officer. On my right, we have Mike Mpanza, who is our mine engineer. And next to him is the DDG from DPE, Anthony Kamungoma. And if I can ask you to introduce the rest of the team from DPE.
Sam Mandiwana with the parliamentary president. Yeah.
Welcome to DPE, and my apologies again for forgetting the department. And thank you very much, Chairperson, for reminding us that the DDG is in our midst. DDG wanted to do something. What's happening now?
No, I reckon we can delve into the presentation. Chairperson, thank you.
DDG, if I may just say this, convey it to DPE that we are not happy, I'm not happy as chair, that they missed the first leg of the meeting. They were supposed to, DPE was supposed to be present in the meeting that took place earlier on. We were dealing with a defend benefit fund of transfer. So do convey our disappointment to DPE for not having attended that session.
Not the chairperson, I would.
Thanks. Members, would you introduce ourselves? Will we introduce ourselves for you, Gloria?
I'm Gloria Borman, member of this committee.
Peter van der Halen, lid van die committee.
Marley van Dijk, member of the committee.
Gerard Koornhof, member of the committee.
Chris Kololo, member of the committee.
Cornelia September, member of the committee.
Melinda Nanda, member of the committee. J. D. Kobo, member of the committee. Good morning.
Ofori Mukwena, late from the committee.
Thanks. But I
earlier this morning when you were not here, Ikobo introduced himself in African, so you guys skimmed. Okay, members, before Alex Cobb presents, the chairperson of Mineral Resources Portfolio Committee wrote to me, and I had a brief meeting with him last week in which he briefed me about this oversight in the Northern Cape to the mines, where they went past Alex Cobb and whatever. They have an issue with they met the community in the Northern Cape, and including the communities of where Alex Cobb is situated. And they picked up an issue about the Alex Cobb Trust Fund. Namakwa, yes, Namakwa. So they also mentioned something about Alex Cobb. So there is a meeting that is flowing from that oversight visit that we have been invited to join of Mineral Resources tomorrow. So that invitation has been circulated to you. So I'm just raising this to, if you have not received it, know that we are having a joint meeting with that portfolio committee tomorrow, where it's 10 o'clock.
9 o'clock. No.
Venue?
Committee room 2,
ground 4, 120 place 6. Committee room 2, 120 place 6. 9 o'clock. If it's 9 o'clock there, then there is miscommunication because our notice said 10. But let's arrive at 9. We will see. The one that they said yesterday was saying 10 o'clock. Okay. Thanks. Having said this, we will invite the chairperson to do preliminary remarks and then allow anybody that's appointed to do the presentation to ourselves.
Thank you, Chairperson. I think overall we have in the past couple of years been operating under some difficult trading conditions. Part of it has been that we have been subject to a deed of settlement which has required that we curtail operations pending registration and conversion of mineral rights, etc., in terms of preparing us for the next phase of Alex Cobb's future. I think that unfortunately has led to us needing to curtail the scope and scale of operations that we've had, which has impacted on our trading results to some degree. But I think even with those difficult trading conditions, you will see that we have performed admirably under the circumstances, and as we go through the presentation, we will highlight some of the things that we have looked at doing in terms of improving our operating conditions on the ground so that we could deliver as good financial report or results as we could under the circumstances. I think where we are sitting now is that we have pretty much got to the end of the stage of meeting the requirements of the deed of settlement. There are one or two small items that are still outstanding, as we'll highlight in our report, a couple of which are awaiting response or submission from the community themselves. And as soon as we have those, we believe that we are now on the verge of being able to launch Alex Cobb and together with our partners, the Richter Salt community, on a new path where we can actually see some reasonable growth and sustainability going forward. And we will also touch on that a little bit as we go through. Given some of the time constraints, I'm happy that we delve into the presentation that we have prepared for yourselves. We have handed out some new slides because we've updated one or two areas within our presentation relative to the one that you would have got on Friday. So if we can pick up from there. In the absence of the CEO, I will... been delegated to give the presentation and with the support then of the management team as and where we require. In broad terms, if we look at the contents of what we're going to be looking at today, we're going to give you an indication of our operations, just so that everybody is on the same page. I know a number of you did come on the site visits. I think some of this may be a little bit old news for you, but I think for the other members who were not able to come down for the site visit, we'll give you some of that background. We'll then talk about where we are in terms of our diamond sales, what items we have achieved in terms of the deed of settlement, as well as which items are still outstanding to be completed in terms of the strict requirements of that, so that you have a full appreciation of where we stand there. We will then address health and safety, look at some initiatives that we're looking at in terms of extending our operations whilst we gear up to go to full production, and also then get into the detailed presentation of our annual financial statements. We'll then look at other items that do impact on us, like our rehabilitation obligations, as well as some of the things that we're starting to do from a governance perspective in terms of some of the new requirements that we're seeing from the Auditor General, and where we are in terms of updating and renewing some of those particular areas. We'll also then briefly touch on some of the strategic thinking going forward for Alexco. I know that we have time constraints, so I'll zip through it as quickly as possible.
Yes. Can I just ask members if they will allow me that I will sit through the first 10 or 15 minutes of the presentation, then ask Ms. Hajesh to chair. I have a member salary meeting that's starting at 12:30. Your salary and benefits. No, I'm being smart so that you allow me to go. Yeah, please, members, if I can be allowed to leave in the next 10 to 15 minutes, then Ms. Hajesh will come and chair when I leave, with your permission, for that meeting.
Can I say this, Chair? In the 18 months since I've been in Parliament, I usually tell people that there are two areas that we hardly fight with whoever, DA, COPE, ANC, AZAPO. Of course, it's only one member in AZAPO. My property is the most organized. Yeah, I'm definitely sure. One is when we talk about Mandela-related issues, your Mandela Day, we never differ. The second one is when it comes to the salaries and everything.
Thank you. Please, Rafit.
Thank you, Chairperson. If we look at that first picture, the areas shaded in red indicate both our land and marine operations. In terms of the deed of settlement, you'll see the shaded area that starts from the Oranium and sort of just above or just by the river and Oranium and all the way down to just past Port Nolloth. All of that that is outside the blue areas is the land claims that have been awarded to the Richtersfeld community, which will now be put into the pooling and sharing joint venture with us to do joint operations. The 1A, B, and C, as well as the 2A, 3A, and 4A and B, which run along the coastline as the thin sliver in terms of the 2A and 3A, represent the marine rights which Alexco holds and which we will also then pull into the joint venture with the community as part of operations going forward. That area represents approximately 140 kilometers in length, which is the total concession area that historically Alexco has operated. You can go to the next one. In essence, in terms of that particular area, Alexco, whether it is in the marine or the land side, picks up and processes the gravel, which then is taken into our recovery centers where we end up with our carat stones. Those are then taken and sold via tender at the diamond exchange in Johannesburg, and obviously 10% of that goes to the diamond trader as part of our regulatory requirements. If we look overall in terms of where Alexco has sat in terms of the 2010 financial year, despite the significant global economic downturn that we experienced, we managed to go through our past year without doing any retrenchments, which I think for us was quite an achievement, given that our neighbors, Transex, De Beers, etc., were undertaking massive retrenchments in that particular area. If we then look at our revenue side, we managed to increase our revenue to 163 million compared to 127 million in the prior year, which was an increase of 36.3 million, which was largely due to higher carats achieved, partly on land as well as in our marine operations. Now, in the land side, our operations have been restricted to basically processing old tailings and dumps and doing sweepings in previously mined areas. We're not able to do any virgin mining, but given some efficiencies with our teams on the ground, we're able to achieve higher volumes. We're also fortunate that we ended up getting a couple of additional sea days than what we had anticipated, and that allowed us to achieve overall higher carat volumes for the year than we had budgeted. And when we get to the detailed presentation of the annual financial statements, we'll cover some of those volumes in a little bit more depth. In terms of the items that were outstanding in terms of the deed of settlement, what remained was that we would convert and transfer the land mining rights to the community from old order to new order mining rights. This was achieved during the course of the year, and those land mining rights effectively were executed on the 19th of May 2010. We then were required to get various resolutions from the community, which we are still awaiting, but everything that is required from Alexco has now been fulfilled, and the only thing that we are waiting in terms of the cession of those land mining rights is the cession accepting the cession of the land mining rights by the community. And we understand that once the community has had its AGM and resolved some internal issues that they seem to be going through at this point in time, we will then be able to proceed with establishing and commencing operations with the pooling and sharing joint venture. Alongside that, Alexco was also required to convert its old order marine mining rights, which we have done, and those were granted on the 2nd of July. So Alexco, on its side, in terms of meeting requirements, is ready to do what it needs to do to go into the pooling and sharing joint venture. There is one thing that comes out of the unanimous resolution which still needs completion, and that is the township establishment process, which is well underway. I think for the members that were on site in terms of the site visit early in the year, you would have seen all the earthworks, etc., that were happening in terms of upgrading our township to municipal standard. That process is well underway, and we should meet our deadline of finishing works of July 2011. Once that process is done, we will then transfer the remaining assets that need to be transferred to the Richtersveld municipality as part of the deed of settlement process. If we then look at the health and safety area, this is one of the areas where we have some great achievements, and I think that is due in large part to the good work that our management team has been putting in place. At our last audit, which was conducted in February 2010, we achieved a score of 86% in terms of the health and safety issues relative to a score of 47%, which was achieved in the previous audit undertaken in 2008. Whilst overall we're happy that we have made significant strides in this area, there are still some minor accidents and incidents that are happening that do remain a concern, because we are striving for zero tolerance in terms of accidents, and continues to be an area of focus for us as a team. We also achieved 1,000 fatality-free ships in 25 November 2009, and we are well on track now to achieving 2,000 fatality ships, which is our next milestone, which we expect to achieve within the early part of next year. With regard to the extended operations, I think previously, because the community had the perception that Alexco would denude the available diamond material, we had been very restricted even in terms of the tailing sweepings and dumps that we could do, whilst the community got to grips with what they owned in terms of the mining claim. What we have subsequently agreed with them, because I think they also started to understand that the lower the production, the lower the revenues that come through, and certainly in terms of maintenance of plant, etc., that becomes quite a costly exercise for us. And in terms of then getting our PSJV off the ground as swiftly as we'd like may have had an impact. So during the course of, towards the end of 2009, we reached agreement with them that we would extend into the areas of tailing sweepings and dumps that we would do. We would still not undertake any virgin mining. That we really can only do once we have undertaken some exploration, and that exploration will commence as soon as we have met all the obligations that are still outstanding in terms of the deed of settlement. However, the ability to get into the broader dumps that we have not been undertaking at this point would give us an ability to extend our operations and achieve more carats produced, as well as also giving us opportunities for the community to participate directly in terms of some of that mining activity. So we reached agreement with them that we would issue expanded and new contracts for all the various aspects of our mining that we are allowed to do, being largely the marine, because that is a right that Alexco retains, as well as then looking at beach and shallow water mining, as well as extending into some of the other dumps that we're not looking at. Those tender processes were completed during the early part of the year, and the Alexco board has been going through those tender processes and doing awards, and we did the last few in August, and effectively we're now going through the process of implementing on that side, and we expect to then be looking at seeing some increased production as we ramp up towards virgin mining as well in the 2011-2012 financial year. Part of that expansion is we've also looked at the participation of women in mining, and one of those tenders that has been awarded in an area called Zetfokop is to a women's mining group, and that is part of us promoting women participation in the industry. If we then move towards I guess what is the mandate of today, which is looking at the presentation of the financial statements. The first important thing to note is that PwC, our auditors, PricewaterhouseCoopers, issued an unqualified audit report this particular year. We also were able to timelessly submit our annual financial statements before the 31 July 2010 deadline to the Department of Public Enterprises and National Treasury as required by the PFMS. If we then look at our performance, and starting with the statement of financial position, or what you may remember as the balance sheet, which is on page 36 of our annual report, some of the highlights there is that in terms of the movements and changes in our non-current and current assets, we were sitting with cash for the rehabilitation trust of 32.8 million rand, which increased by approximately 18%. Part of that was that we looked at our rehabilitation liability and took a view that we needed to increase our contribution to the rehabilitation trust so that we would have reasonable funds to meet our rehabilitation obligations once we came to end of life of mine, which is expected to be somewhere in the next 15 to 20 years. If we then look also at inventory, which increased from approximately 8.6 million to 15 odd million rand, we had 7.4 million in inventory of diamonds that was sitting in our stock at year-end, and that explains the increase in our inventories. Our trade and other receivables also reduced by 5.3 million, which was partly due to impairments that we did, but I guess also because at that point in time our sales were sitting in inventories with the 7.4 million rand of diamonds being in stock. Our cash position increased overall by 141 million, which comprised 129 9 million being 100 million for being the second tranche of the contribution from the fiscus to Alexco for the contribution that Alexco needs to make to the working capital requirements of the pooling and sharing joint venture, which we will now be entering into, as well as 29 million rand being for the work that needed to be done on the township establishment. The difference between the 129 million and the 141 million was then interest earned on the total government grants that that are held by Alexco. Moving on from there, we sit with assets of approximately 162 million rand, which relates to assets held for sale. This is the balance of the land that will be transferred upon completion of the township establishment process. Some of the assets decreased by about 14.3 million because we completed one of the transfers during the current year, which is the fund Bovalon. And we expect that within the 2011-2012 financial year, we will then complete the balance of the transfers. If we then look at the non-current and current liabilities, the most significant movement there was a reduction of 45 million rand in our post-retirement medical aid liability from 135 million to 90 million rand. This was as a result of negotiations with our pensioners, which saw us moving them onto more cost-effective pension fund program as opposed to a more expensive one that they were on previously. We then also looked at an increase on our environmental rehabilitation liability from 239 million to 256 million, which all was inflation linked. And then the trade and other payables increased, and those were sitting at 300 million rand, which effectively relates to the government grants that Alexco has received. There's also a prepaid income item of 49 million rand, which was a prepayment on some of the land, or prepayment being compensation for some of the land that Alexco was to transfer in the 2011 year, so it will be recognized in the 2011 financial year's income. If we then move on to page 37, which is the statement of comprehensive income, or previously the income statement, you will note, as I mentioned earlier, that our diamond sales increased to 163.9 million, 36.6 million jump from 127.5 million the year before. And this was largely because we saw an increase of approximately 9 odd million rand in carats from 25.75 thousand the year before to just on a 33 1/3 in the current year. Because of this increase in revenue, as well as other initiatives that we looked at, we saw our gross operating loss reduce substantially by 20 million rand from 26.6 million the year before to 6 million rand in the current year, which we, under the prevailing circumstances that we're facing of dropping diamond prices sometimes as much as 50%, quite an achievement for us. Continuing further then with the operating results, we then saw an overall net operating profit of 26.9 million rand from a loss of 77.5 million the year before. And the bulk of that operating loss improvement was largely due to some of the movement in non-cash items, such as the reduction in the post-retirement liability, but also then the increase in the environmental liability, which offset themselves. Had we not had these non-cash items, we would have made a 1.1 million operating loss, which I guess is approximately break even from our perspective. In terms of the overall bottom line position, we ended up then with a 36.1 million profit for the year compared to a loss of 65.7 million the year before. We still have a small component of discontinued operations which are on our books, which made a small profit of 160,000 rand compared to a loss of 1.4 million the year before. And part of that has been ongoing rationalization of some of those operations to make sure that they become positive contributors. And also because of some of the cash that was sitting in the bank for the various initiatives that we needed to undertake in terms of the township establishment, or with respect to the cash that we were holding pending the commencement of the PSJV, we also then earned significant interest income, which amounted to 8.9 million in the current year. With respect to our statement of cash flows, which is on page 39 of the annual financial statements, we then saw an increase in our cash of 8 million rand compared to an outflow of 31.1 million in the prior year. This was partly due to the increase in sales, as well as some cost-cutting initiatives that we undertook during that reporting year. In terms of our investing activities, we saw an uptick to 4.5 million rand as we undertook some needed capital purchases in order to make sure that we had plant, equipment, and supporting vehicles to make sure that our operations would continue to be ongoing. No capital items were sold in the current year. As mentioned earlier, we also received the grants of 129 million rand, which I've already covered. And in terms of Alexco, our own cash that is attributable to us, basically we saw an outflow of 1.1 million, which covered the operating loss that I reported earlier. In conclusion, then, we saw revenue up by 28%. Our gross operating loss decreased by 77%, profit for the year up by 155%, our cumulative loss decreased by 15%, our operational cash reserves were 87% higher than budgeted, and our capital expenditure increased by 359%. This also was largely because in order to conserve cash in the 2009 financial year, we'd not undertaken any capital expenditure in that particular year. So there is a bit of a skewness in terms of the capital expenditure that we then had to undertake in the 2010 financial year. Our cash and cash equivalents overall increased by 50%. Overall, from a financial perspective, we believe that the business is in a position where which is relatively healthy given the challenges that we have faced, and we are good and ready to undertake growth in the new phase of our life as we establish the PSJV. In terms of looking at some of the rehabilitation activity, a lot of the activity was focused around the Boegoberg, which is also an area of historic importance to the Richter Salt mining community. So in that area, we completed approximately 50 kilometers of netting, which has substantially improved our rehabilitation and stopped sand moving, etc., in that particular area. And we continue with initiatives on the ground on a monthly basis to rehabilitate areas that we do not anticipate to be mining in future. In terms of looking at some of the requirements of what we would need to do in terms of being fully ready for the PSJV, as well as also responding to new requirements from the Auditor General, we have been going through a complete overhaul of all our operating policies, from HR, procurement, health and safety, delegations of authority, financial policies, etc., the majority of which are completed, and the remaining ones being delegations of authority, which are currently with the board, as well as looking at some of our financial systems and procedures to just make sure that we remain compliant with our reporting requirements overall. In the year ahead, I think the most significant item that we are looking forward to is the establishment of the pooling and sharing joint venture. We anticipate that we will need to undertake significant exploration for the next 12 to 18 months, which will then put us in very good position to be producing. Whilst we are doing exploration, we also expect to be seeing an uptick in our production because we, with all the historical data and our historical experience of the area, have a reasonably good idea of where we should be mining. So we are pretty confident that even in the exploration phase, even though it's not the intention of the exploration phase to really see an uptick in our production, we will nevertheless see some reasonable uptick in production whilst we're conducting that operation. From then April 2012 going forward, we expect that we'll be in a position where we'll be ramping up our production by an additional 30 to 40,000 carats a year in terms of the land production, which will certainly put us in a production of being a viable operation in terms of the pooling and sharing joint venture. With that, we are also starting to look at new greenfields and other opportunities within the diamond sector, as well as looking at beneficiation activities. And we expect that some of those initiatives will start to come on stream as we go through. We have started the process of reviewing our strategic intent in terms of those areas, and we are making submissions to the department, and we'll report and update the community on the committee on those activities as we proceed in the next year ahead. With that, I conclude our presentation, and we are open for questions.
Thank you very much for the input, Mr. Muzariri. I'm sure there are a lot of questions. I know some of us have been to Alex Core and some have not. In whichever way, I think there are quite a number of issues that have actually arisen. So I think we'll open up for questions now.
Thank you, Chairperson, and thank you for the presentation. Can I ask you, on your front page, the results for the year ended 2010. Do you mean March 2010? That's what you okay, so it's not for the year ended, it's for March 2010. Can I ask you, on the year under review, of your executive management, leaving for a moment your company secretary resigned under the year under the review. Three of your executive management were acting, including now post the event that your company secretary resigned. That makes four out of your six executive management either resigned or acting. What is the situation? Can you give us an update? Can you give us an update about being more than 50% of your executive management is still acting under the year under the review? Then you spoke about the cession of mineral rights, but you also talk, when you talk about the deed of settlement, the delay is within the community, if I heard you correctly. So I need to understand what is the delay and what are the issues delaying this process to complete this cession of mineral rights to the Richterveld community. And my last point, you're quite correct to say that you received an unqualified audit report, but that's not the basis of measurement. You can have an unqualified audit report, but with serious emphasis of matters listed in the audit report. And Alexco is a case in point. You have a clean audit, but if you look on page 29, and page 30 and 31, there are serious issues addressed by the internal auditors about non-compliance with reporting requirements, the performance management, your quarterly reporting was not on track, the submission of performance information was not submitted, the usefulness on information, your planned and reported performance targets were not specific, measurable, and time-bound. If I go to your page where you report target against actual, it's very vague. And I can see why the auditor has given this emphasis of matter. And if I can go through the next page, the lack of reporting on all predetermined objectives, compliance with laws, your corporate plan did not cover 3 years. I don't want to bother you with the detail. But a serious emphasis of matters, not only addressing Alex Cole, also looking at your going concern issue. If it's not possible for you to, let me ask the question, what have you done to correct this since this report? And what measures have you put in place to prevent another audit with emphasis of matter in the current financial year? And lastly, on page 7, you talk about diamond theft, about that case that started in 2006, was completed, or 11 people arrested in 2010, April, and the outcome since 12 April 2010. If you can just update us on that diamond theft issue. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. Chairperson, if we can just get a little bit more direction on the satisfaction level on the attendance of meetings by your senior management and your CEO. From your side as a board, whether you are satisfied with the quality of the meetings and the attendance register of those meetings. Chairperson, then on slide page 6 of the presentation, referring to the financial position, we see that you've got diamonds with a value of 7.4 million. That's actually very little. I don't think even it's a glass full of diamonds for that small amount. And you've got recoverable debts of 5 million and the government grants of 141 million. Actually, this is not something to brag about, this financial position. You know, I consider the company as a poor company, not a rich company. And there is, it's been said, on grassroots level that Alex Cole is actually a company in limbo, meaning that you know where you're coming from, but you don't know exactly where you're going to. My question is, you've got clear direction and clear planning to become a real profitable company in the future, to be a real effort? Or is it, that the company is just floating to survive and won't really become independent as a competitive institution in the future, and for the community, of course. If you can just elaborate on those uncertainties. Thank you, Chair.
One more question,
thank you very much, Chair. Let me thank also Alex Cole for that presentation. I've got three questions to ask here. I know that the minister is no longer the minister of public enterprise, we've got a new one now. But I would love to know the reasons why the minister delayed in signing this the transfer of mining rights to the Rittersfeld community. That would be the first one. The second one would be on the cash held into the rehabilitation trust. That was increased by 18% to a total of 32.8 million. What was the original amount that you had there? I was trying to check the presentation on that one. I could not see the original one. And maybe the last one, showing the conflict between two executive committees from the Rittersfeld community. In that there is a fight between the two committees who claim, who are claiming to be, have been elected legitimately. How true are these allegations? And in what way are they affecting Alex Cole's obligations on the deed of settlement towards the Rittersfeld community? Thank you very much.
Thank you, Chairperson. Thank you, honorable members.
We take the first round of questions and
replies,
and we're going to do a second round.
Thank you. Just starting with those first three sets of questions. In terms of our executive management, one of the issues is that there is an agreement in terms of the deed of settlement that there would be joint appointment of key roles within the pooling and sharing joint venture. Accordingly, when we had resignations in those areas, in consultation with our partners from the Richter Salt community, it was felt prudent that we should wait for the establishment of the pooling and sharing joint venture for those roles to be formalized as permanent roles. So that has been the issue that has constrained us from making formal appointments. In terms of the timelines that we're anticipating, and it perhaps picks up a later question that was raised, which is that we are now working with the current representatives of the pooling and sharing joint venture to work towards some timelines of implementation. The only item that is still outstanding from the community is a resolution confirming their acceptance of the cession of the mining rights, which they need to do as part of the requirements of Department of Mineral Rights requirements in terms of the regulation for the cession to be effected. Our understanding is that that resolution being approved at an annual general meeting has been held up by the internal disputes that are happening within the community, and accordingly that resolution has not come out. Our understanding, however, is that whilst there may be two or three warring factions on the ground, in broad terms, everybody in the community is supportive of us moving forward with the pooling and sharing joint venture. So we expect that on the 22nd of November, when they have their hearing with the courts, hopefully they reach an amicable settlement as to who their representatives are and will then be able to release the required deed for us. Upon release of that, we'll then be able to establish our operational executive committee jointly appointed by Alexco and the Richter Salt community representatives. And in fact, we then expect that some of those acting positions will be able to formalize as full-time appointments. And in fact, we don't see any reason why any of those should remain vacant beyond March 2011 in terms of the process that we're envisaging. Then moving on to, I think I've partly addressed the issue of the mineral rights. The delay, as I mentioned, is really that resolution from the community, which we expect will be provided once they complete the AGM. So that is an issue, unfortunately, which has been held up by some internal issues that they're facing. If we then look at the issue of the unqualified report, I think that matter needs some context, particularly when we look at the number of the corporate governance items that are raised. What has happened in the past year is that the Auditor General has come out with expanded requirements or reporting requirements for government departments as well as SOEs. And with that, they also required certain specific reports to be in place. Being the first year that we were experiencing these requirements, whilst we had processes and procedures in place that were addressing a number of the issues, we didn't necessarily have the specific reports that were required by the Auditor General. So from a strict reporting perspective, our auditors were therefore obliged to raise those areas of non-compliance as emphasis of matter items. However, we have already during the current operating year, completed quite a number of those reporting requirements that need to be in place. We had a session with our auditors approximately 2 weeks ago, and they're very happy with the level of progress that we have made, and we are quite confident that we will not be having similar emphases of matter in our 2011 financial year with respect to those items that were raised, which are largely procedural. With respect to the issue of the going concern, I think it was a concern that we shared, because until we had the formal establishment of the pooling and sharing joint venture, we were constrained in terms of our ability to finalize the mining plan, undertake the necessary exploration that is required for us to start working towards becoming a fully operational and viable operation. And that again was a procedural item that had certain steps that we needed to fulfill. So as a matter of consequence, at the period when our auditors were undertaking the audit in May, June of this year, there was a lack of clarity around some of those items happening. As you'll have seen, some of the mining rights items were only released sort of 19 May, by which time the auditors were well on their way with the audit. And at that point in time, we didn't have an ability to give them significant sense of direction of when we would be able to establish that PSJV, et cetera, et cetera. So accordingly, again, with the way auditors have to report, that would have been an area of significant concern for them, as it was for us as a board within Alexco. Happily, we are now at the position where we pretty much have an understanding of when those things will be in place, and from our expectation, we should be able to commence with significant exploration from the 1st of April next year, and we expect that our EXCO will be in place by January of 2011, given the 22nd date that I mentioned earlier, and with that, we are confident that those going concern issues will not be the issue that they were in our 2011 report. In terms of the diamond theft, Leon, can I ask you to just comment on that?
Thank you, Chair. As stated in the annual report, there was 11 persons arrested in Golden Bay and Port Nolof, the two towns. Three of those were Alexco employees at that particular point in time. The rest was either part of the syndicate working in Port Nolof, sometimes in Alexander Bay itself as well. And that process is now in the hands of the courts. All those persons have been in court, was charged, and the court must play out that process as best as possible. Thank you.
Moving then on to the next set of questions by Honorable Van Allen. In terms of the issue of the quality of board meetings, I think overall I'm happy that we have a composition of board that has technical, social, as well as financial expertise that is able to drive the company in the right direction. I think one of the challenges that we faced, if we look at the 2009 financial year, we had a slightly expanded board with 9 members. And I guess as also a new chairperson in that particular year, what we found is that a number of our new board members at that point in time really grappled with understanding the deed of settlement and the level of engagement that we needed to have with the community, which did make some of our engagements disruptive in that particular year. So during the course or at our AGM in 2009, we then looked at revamping and downscaling the size of the board to 6 people so that we could become more responsive and focused in terms of our discussions. And I'm pretty happy that in the past year we have had that. I think part of the challenge has been that in terms of looking to push the agendas of getting our deed of settlement fulfilled, we have had to call some ad hoc meetings to move processes and have resolutions passed, etc., so that we could make quick progress with some of those activities. And for one or two of our board members, they were perhaps of the view that some of those were too ad hoc and would have liked to have more fixed board sessions. But I think overall, in terms of the participation, we've had very good engagement from our board, and I'm happy with where we sit. I think as we move forward and start to look at expanding, we may again want to look at whether it's necessary for us to look at expanding the size of the board so that we are have a good workload distribution in terms of the number of committees, etc., that we meet, particularly as we see some increased reporting requirements being imposed on us by the Auditor General. But at this point in time, given where we sit in terms of our financial position, the tendency would be for us to rather be prudent and have our board members working a little bit harder than expanding that size at this point in time. In terms of looking at the question of the financial position and whether we are just floating and in limbo, I think the unfortunate truth has been that from 2007 until current environment, we have unfortunately been in limbo as a requirement of needing to implement the deed of settlement. And I think when the deed of settlement was put in place and some of the timelines that were in there, we put in, there was an expectation that within an 18-month period we would have concluded all the matters pending and we would be in full operation. I think the reality was that we got caught in a cycle where the Department of Mineral Resources had embarked on a nationwide process of getting everybody to convert their old order mining rights to new order mining rights. And even with us being fast-tracked in that process, there still was a queue of applications that needed to be processed. And from our perspective, that has been the single biggest delay in the process. And it was unfortunately a procedural item that we had little control over. I also think that in terms of looking at some of the transfer of some of the other assets, there were intricacies operationally around some of those which could not have been foreseen at the time of the agreement being drafted. And as we got into operationalizing some of those activities, we did find ourselves with delays that neither side had anticipated. I think what has been gratifying for me is that even though in 2007 we started with a somewhat antagonistic relationship with the community, of late and certainly in the past year, we have found that our working relationship with the community has improved substantially. And I certainly am hopeful that as we move forward, we will have a very good working relationship in restoring a good activity within the region, which will help us uplift that particular area, which, as those of you that visited us will understand, is a very economically depressed area. And to a large extent, we are one of very few economic activities happening in that particular area. If we then move on to the last set of questions in terms of the first round, MP Gololo. In terms of the transfer of mining rights, I think I've addressed that sufficiently. With respect to the cash held in the Rehabilitation Trust, in 2009, the balance that was sitting in that trust was 27.7 million, and previously we had been contributing at approximately 200,000 rand a month, which we then upped in the prior year to just on 1 million rand a month, which is where we end up with the increase. In 2010. With respect to the issue of the conflict within the Richter Salt community, we are partly participants via hearsay in terms of that process at this point in time, but obviously we've also seen some of the correspondence that has been in the newspapers and so on. We have received correspondence from the new party that claims to have been appointed, and we're engaging with both parties, advising them of the process that we need to follow given where we've come from the deed of settlement, and advising them that we hope that they will reach an amicable settlement between the parties, failing which we hope that the court will give a definitive ruling on which part of the two parties definitively represents the community on the 22nd of November. And following that ruling, we will then continue to engage with the party that is authorized to do so. In the meantime, as Alexco, we are continuing with actions and initiatives for us to be ready to implement the pooling and sharing joint venture to the benefit of both Alexco and the community.
the Honourable Gloria, and then the two Honourable Members. Oh, and Anne's here. Your name is right here. I'm just going ahead. And, of course, the Honourable Makwena, and then I have a question. Thank you.
Yes. Thank you, Chairperson. I think largely I have been covered, and obviously the deed of settlement is critical to the life of Alex Corr going forward. My concern is sort of knowing how the communities can go at it with each other. I'm hearing you say that you're pretty confident that they are going to be able to resolve their differences and have proper mechanisms in place to be able to find resolution here. I just want to perhaps refer to your annual report, the notes to the annual financial statements on page 66. And really, it's probably some clarity that I need. I notice there's been quite a substantial increase between 2009-2010 under this item 15 here, split contractors. I don't quite understand the term. If I can have some clarity on that, and that might help me to understand the huge increase that there is there. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Chairperson, and to the delegation of Alex Corr. Thanks for the presentation. Chairperson, I know that I'm not an authority in conflict management and dispute resolution, because in my own party we can't do anything about those. So I've said it. So I'm the last person to talk about conflict management and dispute resolution. But I think, Chairperson, having said that, I have a duty as a member of this committee to express my disappointment about the community of Hammersfield for their inability to handle whatever dispute is on the table, such that what to me when I left Alexander Bay on the 16th of May this year, I left that area feeling very good that something appropriate is being done. And a few weeks later, you read in the papers that they're fighting. And in fact, what seemed to me as a good project is actually spiraling down to yet another failure. I am truly and truly disappointed, Chairperson. I do not know whom to speak to convey my disappointment. I know they may not listen to me because I need to handle my own dispute and conflict issues before I can be an authority in that regard. But on a second Chairperson, I am disappointed with the delegation, Chairman. I know we have women MPs here who are usually vocal about it, but that you have four men appearing before a committee, not a single woman. I know you have the CEO and then the two other non-executive directors. At least it is our responsibility as this committee to cut against such things. I understand that the CEO was supposed to be here, but last night on the last minute, you must Jelemuta plan mark. Jelemuta plan mark. I mean, this is undermining the laws of this country. Thirdly, is on the Rechtersfeld agricultural project. Chairperson, I do not know whether you were there or not. What we saw was out of this world.
I mean, when we left, I remember I was talking to, I think, Comrade Khululu. But man, these people have got wealth in their hands, the people of Rustersfeld. Subsequent to that, we now hear that they have not paid their 21 million rand loan. And they are court related issues. Can we get some clarity from your delegation, chair, what really is happening? And the last one, in Maila, I want to say this again in exactly the same way I said it in Alexander Payne. In my university life, I never came across anyone, any university student saying I am from Alexander Bay. Very few people would be coming from the Northern Cape. And in my view, the people of the Northern Cape, to some extent, are pushed to the periphery of education cycles in the country. In my life, I've never came across at university a student saying I'm from Alexander Bay. And when you raised this to the committee, there was an undertaking from your side that a fund will have to be set up, particularly that a fund that will look into enhancing education levels in that area, a fund that will look into ensuring that skills that are needed going forward, skills that are needed in that community to run with the mining operations and everything else, is not always sourced from outside that community. Is there any progress in relation to that? Thanks, Sean.
Yes, thank you, Chair. Three quick questions. The first one relates to the involvement of the CEO. The CEO operates on a very ad hoc basis. She is contracted to Alexco. She parachutes in and out. She's visually just a visitor. Now, and that's a very high position. And I would like to attribute all the ills of Alexco to her. She's a very personable individual, gets you. But as a board, I don't know how it came about that you should, whether you appointed her or she was appointed by the minister, on that basis. That's really troubling. Because if you've got somebody who is peripherally, you know, involved with that, and only perhaps gets particularly involved when there is an emergency like yesterday, it's like an ad hoc type of thing. So you can't run a company like that, and that's why members are complaining about the profitability. You can't have a company that's profitable, which is run by remote control. I mean, it's upset. And this is a parastatal, and it should be given the full attention. So I would like to find out from you how long a tenure is, the term of office is, and what plans have you got to, not actually to dismiss her, but to get a person who's going to be in situ and operating, be hands-on. Because all those problems of the community, et cetera, flow directly from the perception that there is an absence of a strong person that can relate to on a day-to-day basis. Perhaps if she was there all the time, then there could have been meaningful interventions. And these cell fires there that are bending at this conflagration could have been quelled. So that's the first point. The second point relates to the status of the municipal status of Alexander Bay. When we were there last year, now in May, the committee did raise come up with a suggestion that you should engage
the Department of COMDA, Cooperative Governance, Transitional Affairs, to ensure that the model that's going to evolve out of this new township, the town that's going to be developed, should not be a caricature, but should be in sync with the Municipal Systems Act, et cetera, and conform. So that when you disengage as an electricity company, you shouldn't have a lopsided, ailing municipality that's really created, which is not going to be sustainable. Right? Because we are not operating silos, we are public enterprises. But we advise that you must knock on that door, because they specialize in it, so that they can foresee some of the problems that may arise before you engage, you disengage as a company, because it's not a job to run a municipality. You've done a good thing to mentor them and baby them up to this stage, but then they've got to be weaned. They've got to be removed, or removed off your breast. But before that, you leave as a midwife, must make sure that they're sustainable. The last point. The branding of this new town, what is it? Is going to be a herbe, is going to be a Rastafel, etc. What is it actually going to be? It's a bit related to what I said, the point that I said earlier on. Thank you, Charles.
Just very quickly, and then I think we need to...
Have you missed me, Chairperson?
Oh, I didn't see your hand.
Oh, I'm sorry.
All right, carry on.
Maybe it's my fault. I've not seen the disclosure of the remuneration of senior management in this report. Is it lying somewhere hidden where I can't find it?
On page 71 is the director's remuneration. Which is what we require to disclose statutorily.
No, I'm not talking about I'm talking about senior management. Are they part of the directors? I'm talking about your CFO and all those.
No, they're not part of the directors. So the I guess the three, well, the four other senior managers, being the three gentlemen with me here and the mine security manager, are all not directors of the company.
Well, I presume that when the review of all executives and managers remuneration will be looked at by the reviewer board, so will Alex's course be done.
I think Jefferson, Honorable Dukobo's point is that we have been going through a number of annual reports, and it's standard practice that the remuneration packages of your senior managers should find space in the annual report. And in this instance, there is nothing. I mean, I stand to be corrected. There is nothing about senior managers.
I agree with you. Just to round off, we're sort of going into... I think we have exactly 5 minutes, but I just quickly want to pose these questions. First of all, you talk about beneficiation. Now, the word beneficiation has been bandied around so much, I don't even know what it means anymore. I would like, not now, but say by the 15th of November, if you can have something in writing for us, exactly how you are going to do the beneficiation that you're talking about. What are your plans? That's the first thing. Secondly, I think my comrade is quite correct when he says that it's unacceptable that there are no women in your delegation. Also, that what came through was also the socioeconomic condition that the people of the Rustus Veld find themselves in. is a great cause of concern. And hinging on this question of Mr. Makwena, is I was looking at the board of directors and executive management of all of these people here, how many actually live in the area? Could you give us your answers in 5 minutes, please? Excepting the one about the
Thank you, Chairperson. Just in terms of the community resolution, I've not made good notes. Do you mind just refreshing me on your question again, on the booklet?
It actually also ties up with the fact that, you know, in these conflictual situations, you don't make any progress. I'm saying, are you confident that it's actually the best, a proper process in place for that community to actually be making progress, you know, that they are coming together but in proper structures in order to be able to put forward, you know, their own resolution?
May I take that, Chairperson? I think in terms of the court order in this matter, I think the court applied itself a lot in relation to the structures of the community and finding an optimal manner that would give, you know, effective relationships within the community. And it made a lot of provisions around that, and I'm able to share a copy of the court order on how the community should elect its representatives on the various bodies within the community property association. So I believe this is one area that the court will be applying itself to. In relation to this, the resolution of the current conflict that we are seeing in the community.
Thank you, Anthony. In terms of the annual financial notes, page 66, the split contractors highlights the revenue split that goes to our contractors in the respective areas. Depending on which area of the mine, whether it be in the marine or on the land side, there's a revenue sharing model that we work with given the level of risk that each party is taking. And that varies anywhere from 30% in favor of Alex Corps to 40-50% in favor of Alex Corps, depending on the particular area. So that increase from 75-odd million to 97 million rand represents a 30% increase, which is in line with the 28% increase that we saw in revenues. So it's directly attributable to the increase that we saw in tariffs produced, as well as the attendant increase in our revenues the year before. Just a comment then in terms of the issue of conflict. I think one of the things that we have started to recognize is that we need to look at ways and means that we can work closer with the community, because they are our partners for the foreseeable future. And in that, I guess we need to hold them closer than perhaps we might have done in the past, even though it may not be our obligation per se. As part of that process, I think we are fortunate in the country to have a successful community that has built itself up in the Bafokeng community. And we have made overtures to the Bafokeng community for them to explain to us how their model has worked and what has made them successful. And we're in the process now of arranging a visit for ourselves, the community, as well as representatives from DPE to go and sit with the Bafokeng community. And I think it's something that we may also do for SAFCOL as part of the process, for us to really understand how in their fight with implants, etc., they over those years managed to build themselves into the success that they are. And we certainly want to look at those models that they've applied to the extent that we can, and then working together with the Richter Salt community in our own area. And we hope that the example that they've set will then also help to invigorate
the community and to give them a different perspective of cooperation, both within their own working structures, but also in how they then work with us. In terms of the gender representation, it is most regrettable that at this point in time we are not appropriately representative. I think as we have undertaken, as we look to make appointments of our executive committee going forward, that is something that we will look at paying particular attention to, and we will do our best to make sure that we are representative on future visits. I think with that as well, we also do not want to be in a position where we are just bringing token ladies to fill space, so that is something that we are also sensitive to, that the parties that we bring are ones who actually have active roles and will be able to represent themselves in those roles. So we do note the poor representation, but we will continue to work on that. In terms of the agricultural assets, I think if anything, this is something that has galvanized us from an Alexco perspective in terms of appreciating that the proposed pooling and sharing joint venture is probably the most appropriate method of giving effect to the wishes of the community. I think the unfortunate thing with the assets is that they were given sole ownership to the community, and therefore Alexco was excluded from any role. To the extent that we made overtures at the time, the community indicated to us that they were very competent, in fact more competent than Alexco was to run those particular assets. So in fact, even recommendations of staff, etc., that we made that should be retained were largely ignored, unfortunately, at the time, which has been to the detriment of those particular assets. I think this is an area, given the remoteness of where we are, where we can start looking at how we can encourage the community to perhaps look at two or three areas that they can focus on, such as the dairy, and be a provider and to Alexco, because obviously as we start increasing our operating activities, we'll hopefully see an uptick in our employment levels within the area, which will create some demand for those agricultural assets. In terms of resolution of the current financial position, I don't know if you have any comment to make on that, but unfortunately we are not in any position to comment on their financial structures. What we do understand is Treasury was supposed to have a representative within the management structures of the community, and that perhaps is the best place to understand what has gone wrong from a financial perspective. In terms of the bursaries, I think that is an ongoing item. We are busy reviewing our social and labor plan together with our partners in terms of understanding areas where we should be giving the most impact. And I think historically we have had a number of bursaries that we have funded as Alexco, looking at the areas where we had requirements. And currently we have, I think, two that are running that we are supporting. I think that is an area that we want to reinvigorate with the deployment of the PSJV now coming on stream, and we certainly take your comments around that. And we have two bursaries for ladies in mining. My colleagues are just alerting me as part of that process. So that is an area that we do see ourselves having impact, and we certainly take your comments to heart, and we'll make sure that we do something concrete there. With respect to the issue of the CEO involvement, I think to some degree we did inherit the CEO already appointed under certain terms and conditions. In terms of looking at that operational involvement, we have looked at engaging and seeing how we could increase that level of involvement, and currently the CEO is on the mine for a week, every second week. Whilst that may not be sufficient for perhaps some people on the ground at this point in time, given the level of activity that was on the ground, we felt overall, given some of the other reporting obligations that she had to meet,
that met the operating requirements. I think as you raise the question, it is something that I'll certainly take to the board for us to look at and review, and then we will, I guess, make appropriate responses to the committee, if you will allow me that indulgence. We do have a board meeting that is coming up on the 9th, and obviously we'll need to take it through our proper channels in terms of our remuneration committee, etc., to come back to you with a proper formal response in terms of that area of concern. I think it is a difficult one, because when one looks at other mining entities, generally the person who runs and controls the operations is the mine manager, who is on site, and your CEO tends more towards looking at strategic initiatives whilst keeping an eye on the operational activity. So it is something that we appreciate. We have to strike the right balance, and we will certainly come back to you with a formal response on how we can address it so that it is more effective and more hands-on in terms of addressing some of the concerns that have been raised. In terms of your referral to the Department of Cooperative Governance, we'll certainly take note of that, and if we can engage with you after the session to perhaps get some leads of who some appropriate people might be to contact in that regard, we'll certainly pursue that. In the interim, Mike, I don't know if you want to just comment on some of the committees we've set on the ground in terms of dealing with some of the transition process.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Chairman. To the honourable committee members, we have established a handover preparatory committee that will take care of the smooth transfer of the town. So that's a committee that will make recommendations on which specific elements, looking at the final details, that needs to be put in place before the transfer of the town, of the township. Thank you.
With respect to the disclosure of the senior manager salaries, I think historically we've gone on the requirements that we're statutorily required to disclose, which is the director's remuneration, which is provided. We're certainly happy to provide the committee in the interim with a summary of the remuneration that has gone to our current incumbents, so that you get a sense of that. We do, from a board perspective, look at obviously offering reasonable salaries to be able to attract people to the remote area that we operate in, but we are quite happy that with the work that we've done, we're not paying undue premiums to those parties, and accordingly we are happy to make disclosure of those salaries, and we'll certainly look at what some of the other parastatals are doing in terms of their disclosure, and look to bring ourselves up to best practice in terms of that particular area in our forthcoming reports in 2011. Very quickly, with respect to the beneficiation, we will give you an indicative document, but essentially what we're looking at there is initiating the process by running a pilot for a cutting and polishing activity, which we then hope will be completed by March, April of next year, and we can then properly spell out concrete actions of how we can get engaged further upstream in terms of beneficiation activities, and more so in terms of how we engage people from within our area in those activities. We've addressed, I think, the issue of the women in the delegation. With respect to the issue of the socioeconomic conditions for the community, I think for us, the only way that upliftment can happen is by us becoming fully operational as quickly as possible with our pooling and sharing joint venture. And certainly from an Alexco perspective, now that the hurdles that were in our way have been cleared, we are pulling out all the stops to make sure that gets initiated as quickly as possible. And at this point in time, I'm very confident that the 1st of April, which is our next financial year, we will certainly be able to start ramping up with the exploration activities that are necessary for us to then embark on full-on mining. As part of the expanded contracts that we have awarded in those contracts. We've also looked to award contracts to parties that have come with the Richter Salt Mining Company, as we understand it, based on the engagement that we've had with them from the deed of settlement process. And we are happy that in the interim, they will have an avenue in the coming months where they will be seeing some direct revenue coming through to them as part of that process. And then in terms of the board, at this point in time, there is no one who lives in Alexander Bay or the Richter Salt area as defined. Claude Tawil lives in the Northern Cape. The rest of the board members are residing in Johannesburg. All the management live on site.
Okay. Thank you very much, delegation from Alex Gore. We will expect, hopefully by the 15th of November, your proposed plan for beneficiation. You've given some broad outlines, but we would like to see some kind of more constructive plan. And then also, I think at the same time, if you could also let us have the remuneration packages of the your executive management. I think 15th of November is a fair time for you to assemble those facts. Once again, I thank you for coming and for the honorable members here. I think it's been quite a fruitful morning. And thank you all. Meeting adjourned.
Thank you, honorable members, as well.
A lunch will be set outside. Lunch will only be served now. Thank you.